This is June of 1973, and I'm at the Fairbanks Pioneers home. Your interviewer is Mike Dalton. I'm interviewing Charlie Creamer, 84. Mr. Creamer declined to go to the lounge, where it was a little quieter. I'm sure it was because he couldn't walk that far, and he's not about to resign himself to a wheelchair. So we walked down the hallway from his room to an open area toward the dining room at the Fairbanks Pioneer Home. There is background noise, people talking. I regret this, but it was the only way I could get Charlie Creamer to tape that day, and he was in the mood to talk. Several people stop by, and they're identified as they go by. Charlie Creamer was one son who had six sisters. He was born May 4th, 1889 in Weaverville, California. Went with his family to Dyea, out of Skagway in 1897. Came to Fairbanks in 1904.
I stayed there for quite a while. And then she went outside, and so then I come up here.
Now she's your niece, isn't she?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bill Stroker is your nephew?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then it must have been Bill's mother who was your sister?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was her first name?
Maddie.
Maddie Creamer. I knew that you were related to Bill, but
yeah.
I thought it was uncle, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll just talk about Charles Creamer now.
Just a second.
Charles Creamer, right? Yeah. There, I think it's working now. First of all, Charlie, do you mind if I call you Charlie?
No.
Everybody calls
me Charlie. Yeah.
Okay. where were you born?
In Weaverville, California.
Weaverville, California.
California.
And can you tell me the day and the year you were born?
May the 4th, 1889.
May the 4th, 1889.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes you, right now, that would make you about 84 years old?
84 years old.
84.
Yeah. No, 85.
Yeah, going on, you'd be 85 next spring.
Yeah, next spring, yeah.
Then, someone was telling me, well, I think it was Rusty Herleen was telling me that you were in Dyea.
Yes.
During the gold rush.
Uh-huh.
Tell me how you, did you come in 1897 or 1896? Or
1897.
To Dyea?
To Dyea. And we lived there in Dyea until 1880. Well, it was 97. And we lived there until 99. And when they built the White Pass Railroad, why, that put Dyea out of commission. And so we left there, and I had a sister, Tessie, and she fell on the ice and she had hip joint disease. So we went to Tacoma and lived there until she passed away. And then we come into Fairbanks in 1904.
When you went to Dyea, you were just a boy. In 1897, you would have been about 8 years old.
8 years old, we had a night.
So you were there with your mother and father?
Yes, and sisters.
Yeah. Your father's name was?
Charles.
Charles Creamer?
Yeah.
And your mother was?
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Uh-huh.
And did you have any brothers?
No brothers. I had three older sisters and three younger.
Is that right? And you were the only boy? Why don't you name your sisters' names?
Your sisters? Well, my oldest sister, her name was Tessie.
Tessie.
And then Maddie.
Maddie.
And then Frances. and then Camille, and Genevieve, and Miriam.
So you were one boy with six sisters.
I just got one sister living, you know her, Marion Woods.
Marion Woods.
Yeah.
She's in Seattle now.
Yeah, she's in Seattle.
Yeah, her son was up here.
Yeah.
He's here now.
No, he just left. He went back out again.
I saw him at the Pioneer meeting in June.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he came and was reinstated as a member.
Oh, is that right?
I think he'd been outside for quite a while.
Yeah, he had been.
And he came back and was reinstated as a member of the Pioneers.
He did.
Tell me what your father did in Dyea. Was he a trader?
No, he was freighting.
Freighting?
Yeah, he had three two-horse teams. And they was hauling freight from Dyea up to Sheep Camp. That was the bottom of the Chilkoot Pass.
To Sheep, was that the name of it? Sheep Camp?
Sheep Camp, yeah.
It's a little noisy here sometimes, doesn't it?
No.
Why don't you, if you're more comfortable, leaning back?
It's all right this way.
So, you, as the only boy in the family, you must have helped your father with the horses.
Yeah. He was running three teams, and lots of times they're short a driver, and he let me take one of the teams. Yeah, I could hang off the lines.
Did your sisters ever help with the teams?
No, never did. And so then, in 1904, then we come into Fairbanks.
Well, when you lived in Dyea, though, do you remember what the town looked like?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember how many people were there? Was it a big town?
There's going and coming, you know. It's just a steady stream of people, because when they got to Sheep Camp, they had to put everything on their back and carry it up over the Chilkoot Pass.
I see.
I remember Sophie Smith when he was running his shell games.
Tell me what you remember about Sophie Smith.
Well, he wasn't a bad fellow.
He wasn't in Dyea, was he?
No, he's in Shagway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he had his shell games on the Dyea Trail.
His shell games. That's where he was gambling and conning the stampeders out of their money.
Out of their money, yeah. Yeah. And, of course, that shell game is quite a trick, you know. And you see these fellas starting to go to Sheep Camp, and pretty soon you see them coming back, waiting to get a boat out to go back to the States.
Is that right? Broke, I suppose.
Yeah, broke, yeah.
Do you remember Sophie Smith himself? Do you remember what looked like?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me how he used to dress.
Well, he dressed real... just like a gambler, you know. Yeah.
Wear a white shirt and tie? And
yeah.
He wasn't dressed like a stampeder, in other words.
No. And, of course, after they shot it out that night, I thought lots of men left Skyway and come over to Dyea, you know, and the people of Dyea wouldn't let them land.
Is that right? Were they some of Sophie Smith's
gang? His gang, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They wouldn't let him land?
No.
Where'd they go? Where did they go?
I guess they went towards Haines or someplace else.
Yeah.
And after that, then everything settled down. And when I come to Fairbanks, I recognized three of his men here.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Were they living and working here in Fairbanks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were they still gamblers?
No. I won't mention their names because, you know.
Yeah.
Or
did some of them just remain in Fairbanks and live here the rest of their lives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, sometime when we're not putting it on tape, well, maybe you can tell me the names, just for, if you want to.
Oh, no, I'd never tell them.
You'd never tell them, huh?
No, people have been after me off and on, you know, to get their names. Mm-hmm. And two of them was all right, but one of them was a bad one. Yeah.
So, when after Soapy Smith, they shot, he and Frank Reed.
Yeah, Frank Reed.
Shot it out, and then mm-hmm. Soapy's men tried to come into Dyea.
Yeah.
And the people there didn't let him come.
No.
So, that was just before the White Pass was finished.
Yeah, just before, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, when the White Pass was finished, the White Pass Railroad, then your father sort of was out of business.
Yeah, went out of business, yeah. Yeah, he sold his horses to the White Pass. Yeah.
Well, before he, yes, before your father took your mother and his all of his family up to Dyea, where did you live? In California? Or
yeah, in California. Yeah.
In Weaverville?
What? In Weaverville. Uh-huh. And then I had an uncle. He was a hard rock miner from Colorado. And so on his way out from Colorado, he's going up to Juneau. Juneau was just booming in, you know. And so he talked my father into going with him.
I see.
To Juneau. To Juneau. And
so that was, what year was that?
My father, he went to Juneau in 96.
In 96.
The Treadwell Mine was just going then. You know.
I see.
Yeah.
So after then he worked at the Treadwell Mine?
No, he's a hard rock man, and he thought he'd come up and find some more ore, you know. And so, his wife, my aunt, was living in Juneau, and so he wanted to make a trip back home, and there's a boat come up, and she's loaded with dynamite powder for Burners Bay. And so instead of going in and loading this powder at Burners Bay, she come up to Skagway and let the passengers off and took on about 60 passengers. And just before she got to Burners Bay, she blew up.
Holy smoke.
That was the Clara, Nevada.
Clara? Boat.
Clara, Nevada. Yeah.
And did your uncle come up on that?
Well, no, he's going down to see his wife, my aunt, in Juneau.
I see.
And he never got there. And out of all of them passengers, why, they only found one body, and that was a purser on the beach.
How many passengers were killed in that accident?
Oh, 60-some. 60-some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then some, the crew members.
And the crew members, yeah.
And what was your uncle's name was what?
Al Noyes.
Al Noyes?
Uh-huh. He was a brother to the Noyes who was here at the lumber company.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was he your mother's brother?
No, my...
Your father's?
On my father's side, yeah.
So he must have been, what, a stepbrother to your father? Or?
No, he was he'd married to my father's sister.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, well, that's too bad.
Yeah. All right.
So it was in 1896 that your father first came to Juneau. Then he brought you and your mother and sisters up to Dyea in 97.
97, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of house did you live in Dyea?
Well, we had a nice log house, two-story. Yeah.
Did you have plenty of Plenty of food,
supplies? Oh, yeah, supplies, yeah.
I guess at that time there were lots of ships coming up from
Seattle. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you ever, as a boy, did you walk over the Chilkoot Pass?
No.
Did you ever go up?
I went up part way, yeah. There's just steps, you know.
Steps in the ice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go up just to help someone pack his gear? Or?
No. There's nothing to do.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. You were just a boy then.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then, in 1899, you went back to...
Tacoma.
Tacoma. Mm-hmm. And you stayed there till 1904.
Yeah.
And did your father, was he a farmer there, or how did...
No, he, when he come into Fairbanks, why, he was with this Fred Noyes, was a relative, you know. And this Noyes was running that lumber sawmill here.
So your father came up and worked for Fred Noyes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they come in here in 1903.
Okay, so it was 1903 then he came up here to work for Fred Noyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he sent for the family next year.
Next year, yeah.
But tell me how you came to Fairbanks. There was no railroad then, so how did you and your mother
and sisters... Well, we come on the boat to Skagway. Then took the railroad right past to Whitehorse. And then we took the boat again to Dawson and down the Yukon to the Tanawha, and then up the Tanawha River.
So in 1904, there were just a few log cabins here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you come right to Fairbanks or did you go to Chena?
No, we come right to Fairbanks. Yeah.
Do you remember the name of the stern wheeler you came on?
What do you mean, up here?
Yeah.
The steamer Tanawha.
From?
From Tanawha.
Up to Fairbanks.
Yeah. And was on the Saro from Dawson to Tanawha.
And how did you get to Dawson? You had to take a smaller stern wheeler.
No, the Selkirk. She was one of the Canadian boats. Yeah.
Okay, so it was the Selkirk to Dawson.
Yeah.
And the Sarah to Tanawha, and then the steamer Tanawha to up here to Fairbanks.
Up here. Uh-huh.
So in 1904, you were about 15 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you must have a pretty good memory of what Fairbanks looked like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tell me...
Of course, everything was wide open, gambling, and dance halls, and it was a booming town. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was just 2 years after Discovery.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when the steamer Tanawha stopped there in the Chena River, was there a dock?
No.
Next to the river?
No. No docks. They had no docks on there. Just pulled up and tied in front of the NC Company.
Was the NC Company already built?
Yeah. They had a small place there then. It's a real small place.
Besides, right there on First Avenue, where part of that old building is still there.
Yeah.
It's been added on to.
Uh-huh.
There was the NC Company?
Yeah, the NC Company there, when I first come here, they was right on, what's that street below Cushman?
Turner?
They's on Barnett.
Barnett.
Yeah, in the corner of Barnett.
Yeah, if you want to. Where'd you get it?
And besides the NC Company right there, was there, what was next to it, a saloon or a...
Well, then the NC had that block, just like it is now. And then on this side of that, Pinsky had a store there. And then from there on, most of the saloons.
Yeah. And were there very many log cabins then in 1904?
Not too many, no. Lots of them were getting ready for winter, you know, was building, but it looked more like a tent city.
Yeah. What month was that when you came?
In June.
In June. Then when you arrived here with your mother and sisters, your one sister had died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where did your father have a house for you to live in?
Yeah. We lived in a log cabin the first winter. And then he, next spring, he built a two-story frame house. Maybe you remember it there, stayed there for years, just below that Grail Bridge.
Just below the Grail Bridge?
Yeah, it was a two-story frame.
Uh-huh.
And
that was on the other side of the river?
Yeah, on the other side. Yeah, on the other side.
But your two-story frame house that your father had, did he build it himself?
Yeah, well, he had help with it, you know. Yeah.
And it was right near the
Grail Bridge.
The Grail Bridge, the present Grail Bridge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just below there. There used to be outfit there, the first lot below the bridge. Downing and Gardner had that. They had 24 head of horses and mules.
Downing and Gardner?
They were freighting from China and then take the freight onto the creek.
I see.
Some falls of boats couldn't get up here, and they'd have to unload the freight of China.
Yeah. So where did they get the feed for all of those horses?
It was all shipped in.
Was?
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty early yet. They developed some farms here.
You take these woodcutters out there, like on that road to the farmer's loop, and there's wood choppers in there, and after they cut the wood off, well, then they cleared the land, you know, and that's the way they got started raising their crops here.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How'd they get the stumps out of the ground?
They'd pull them with horses. Yeah.
So when you arrived then in 1904, you were about 15 years old.
15.
Uh-huh. And you were old enough to do a day's work, I'll bet you.
Oh, yeah. Of course, 1904 and 5, I went to school that winter. And in summertime, I was herding for Wechter Brothers.
Herding cattle?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And where did you herd? You mean, did you help bring cattle into Fairbanks?
No.
Or you just herded them here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'd come in, just like I made my trip, you know. They bring the cattle in that way.
They brought them in over the White Pass Railroad?
Yeah. Put them on barges and take them down the Yukon and up to here.
And then up to Fairbanks.
Yeah, and then other times the first shipment come around that way, and then the second shipment, they'd bring them to Circle and then drive them across from Circle to here.
Oh. It's a long, long drive.
Yeah.
Did you help drive cattle from Circle in?
Yeah.
How did you get to Circle? Did you walk over from here?
Yeah, horseback.
I see.
Yeah.
Who? Were there several of you who helped herd these cattle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember some of the other fellows who worked with you?
Ralph Wechter was one of the Wechter boys.
Ralph Wechter?
Yeah. And we herded it together. The other fellows, I forget their names. I can't think just offhand.
Yeah, well, that's not important now, but maybe we'll think of it in a little while.
Yeah.
But Did you ever know Jack Dalton?
Yeah, when he landed here.
Landed here in Fairbanks?
Yeah.
What year was that?
I think that was 5 or 6.
And did he bring cattle in?
Yeah, he had 200 head.
Did he bring that load in? Did he bring a load of cattle in over the White Pass that way, or did he herd them in?
He herded them all the way from the States.
All the way? Oh, so he must have brought them in over what he called the Dalton Trail.
The Dalton Trail, yeah.
Do you know how he got him to Fairbanks? Did he go up to Circle and then down the river?
Well, he fought, come cross country from Circle. He followed the 12-mile summit around. Yeah.
So he must have brought them by White Pass Railroad then?
No, they walked all the way from the States.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you recall where he started out with that herd?
Somewhere down in, was in Canada, or Cincinnati, it's right near the Canada and the American line where he started from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Down near Montana? Down that way, you mean?
No, it's this side. I think he's more this side of there.
But down the lower 48, yeah. Down there, not near Haines or...
No.
Uh-uh.
I see. No.
Those cows had a long walk, didn't they?
Oh, gosh, it was awful. Yeah. And they couldn't put on no flesh either, you know.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we butchered them, why, they turned black.
Is that right?
Yeah. If he'd have brought a 4-year-old, why, he'd have been all right.
There's that big flirt.
Yeah,
he likes to flirt with the girls.
Don't he, though?
Even old girls like me.
Yeah.
He never gives up. You should see Louie at the pioneer meetings, Charlie.
Yeah.
He's got lots of girlfriends, too.
Yeah, so.
Who's that, Charlie?
You,
who's that?
You know her.
No, he asks me my name. You can't remember my name.
That's right. Well, I tell you, at my age, I get so forgetful. If my funny hadn't been glued on tight behind, I'd have left it on other people's toilet long ago. Yeah. That's right.
Louis, I believe you.
That's how absent-minded I get, forgetful.
But you still have fun. I was here yesterday, and I saw you holding 2 nurses' hands walking down the...
Who?
You.
I don't...
There was one on one side and one the other, and Louis was holding this one's hand.
Strange woman?
Nurses.
Nurses.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they kept me from falling down.
No, I think you were just flirting with them.
It's a strange world we're living in, Charlie.
Go. Yeah.
You want to chew tobacco?
I don't chew tobacco, Louie.
This is my appetizer.
Oh.
You want one?
That's your appetizer?
Mm-hmm.
For lunch?
And after I get through eating, then I'll have
lunch.
Mint.
A mint.
After dinner, mint.
I'll pick
a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what? That keeps me from my hair getting too gray. All you got to do, chew tobacco and swallow the juice.
And it keeps your hair from getting crisp.
Yeah. Look, I still got a few dark hair.
You sure do.
And that's because I chew tobacco and swallow the juice.
You've got a card.
he's we kid him a lot at the Pioneer meetings, but he has he enjoys.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
The reason I was asking about Jack Dalton, was my father, my husband's father.
Husband's father.
And he died before my husband and I were married, so I never did meet him. That's why I was interested in your recollections of him.
Yeah.
Was he a very tall man?
Well, medium tall, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, when he brought 250 head in?
200.
200.
Uh-huh.
And then he brought him in from Circle, over the trail from Circle.
Yeah, to here.
When they arrived here, did the Wachter brothers, did they keep any of them, or did they butcher them all?
No, he butchered them himself. There's a butcher here by the name of Champagne Bill. Hello.
Champagne Bill.
Bill Knight was his name.
Uh-huh.
And he's a black sheep from the Knight Packing Company, you know, Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And he butchered them and I was helping him.
So you helped Champagne Bill and Jack Dalton?
Butcher the
cattle.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to butcher them, and what'd you do with the meat?
Well, they hung them up, they split them, and then we put them on skids and keep shoving them back. We had this place built, you know, and so they hung them all up that way.
To age?
No, freeze up time.